May 28, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is El-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. We will open this evening with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Ramadan session, topic, man and the universe as mates created for each other, its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad. Lake means water turned red. So I see that beast really burning in his own fire. I can see that he is actually burning in his own fire. And if you study the word lake, they use it for a reason in scripture. If you look up the word lake, it does not mean clear water. It means water turned red. Now you know that that is not the color of lakes. So lakes have clear water. The water is not colored, but the term says a deep red dye, substance, has been put into the water. The liquid contains a deep red dye substance. So that is why the word lake is used in the Bible for the beast, that he will be consumed in a lake of fire, one of the curses upon the people. Allah's throne is universal and not subjective. The topic is, the throne was upon the water. The throne had to come from being subjective to being universal rather than subjective. And Allah revealed that his throne, that he wants us to establish as Muslims, is universal, not subjective. That is why he revealed now that his throne extends over the heavens and the earth, or the sky and the earth, universal. Lake water turned red, turned blood red. One of the curses that was on the Egyptians, who were oppressing the chosen people that Allah, our Lord, the Creator, had chosen for his purpose, were in bondage to Pharaoh. So many curses or plagues came, right? Some of you who read the Bible, you know this. One of them was that the water was turned blood red. Turning water red also means social teachings. Now, that is what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to reach our people and turn the holy water red. The holy water used by the religious leaders in our community, I want to turn it red. I want to change it from being spiritual teachings to being social teachings. Government works with religion in the ungodly world to control the masses. That Pharaoh who is in the Bible as a wicked oppressor, every Pharaoh was not like that. I studied ancient Egyptian history. Some of their leaders were very good. Some of the Pharaohs were very good for their people. All of them were not like that. It was just one. In that period of time, the Pharaoh of that time, of Moses, the persecution or enslavement of Moses' people. He depended on very mysterious symbolic religions to hold the masses of the people. He had a priesthood that worked directly with him in government to control the people. Do you know government and religion works together in the ungodly world to control the masses of the people? That's how it was in that time. I'm not saying all churches. I'm not saying all leaders. I'm not saying all government people. No. But it is enough support amongst the church leaders or religious leaders and enough support in the government to keep that thing going. So they have an alliance, a pact. They work together to keep the masses ignorant, babyish. Education is the greatest tool for advancing a society. We cannot get where we want to go and get our people where they should go if we just pretend that we do not see these things. No, we have to inform the people. Education is the greatest tool for advancing society. Education is lost often when developers control it. But do not think that education is always in academia or in public school systems or in the school established for the people. No, it is lost many times. The main help for the intellect or for the mind of people is lost many times because the world decided education. Do you know the big developers, the big investors in industry, they control government and education? And we only see opposition to them when a bright intellect appears somewhere in the country or a group of them. Usually it is a group, because a bright intellect is not going to be happy by himself. He's going to have to find some companions to work with him. So it turns out to be a small group of people who get together and they challenge what is going on. They point at the problem and they expose it, or they seek to get it changed. And if they can't get it changed, then they expose it. And then we see change for the better in the academic world or in the political, governmental world. So we see change for the better, but it isn't going to happen without an interruption. Somebody who is right has to be attentive to what is good for the human public and what is bad for the human public. So we have reached points in our growth as a people on this planet Earth, as communities of people on this planet Earth, where the old must be replaced with the new. So this old way of controlling the masses and managing the public has to be done away with. And I know some of you are guardians, and they have given you a small job in the establishment, and you always think that you know more than your leader. You think that they have given you something higher than what God has given your leader. Well, that is your privilege. But I'm telling you, you can go back and tell your bosses the day is out. It is a new day. Oh, yes, it is a new day. We cannot continue to treat grown-ups and our public and in our residences, our neighborhoods, their brains, and their intelligence like they are no more than babies. So we have to respect the adult mind, because Allah will interrupt your thing. Yes, He will. He will interrupt it. So the change is now from appealing to the emotional side of life to appealing to the rational side of life. The land, that is what Jesus did when he said, come from the water, follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men. That is what he was saying. That was the leadership. Tell me how many was he talking to? How many did he bring from fishing? 12. So that is the leadership. How many are in the president, cabinet? 12. That is the leadership. So he has calling the leadership of that time. So fish in the water of human sensitivity and sensibility. Now they were fishing from the water, right? They were fishing in the water of human life, not that water. You go out there and look for the gold and eat in Chicago. Not that lake, not that water. The water of human life, human composition. Your sensitivity and sensibility are both in the water. Sensibility means the ability to sense. Sensibility means feeling, and sensibility means the ability to sense in your nature. But if they play upon the water all of the time and do not address you as land or as a land creature, you will lose your land, the ability to respond. You lose the rational ability to respond, as I said earlier, and you are just turned up to respond emotionally. The individual life of the one person is the key. So the individual life of the one person, that is the key. The life design and pattern for one person is the same and nature for every other person. Do you know when you go to the dentist, he doesn't say, what is your race? Do you have any other race in you before I start this procedure, drawing blood? Do you have any other race in you? I do not want to make a mistake if you have some Spanish blood in you. No, the human being has human blood, right? Sure. Real, true science is universal. It is the same everywhere. So a doctor can treat anybody. And he does not have to add, wait a minute, let me go and get my manual on Negroes. You're all the same. Your science is all the same. The science of your hair, your skin, your blood, your teeth, your bones, all of your sciences are the same. That's the God who made you. He made all of us the same so that we can be doctored on without a whole lot of unnecessary problems. But when it comes to teaching this religion, oh boy, we want a Negro religion. Give us a black religion. Where is that black religion? I don't want that one. Well, let us take out that which does not hold up when tested by truth and science and God's creation. Let's take that out of it so it will be all of our religion. Let's take the white Lord out of Christianity. Isn't that what Allah says to the prophet? He says, say to them, let us come to terms that respect us equally, that we raise not from amongst ourselves lords other than God. So racial image of God regress the human psyche. Do you think our Quran is not addressing racism there? That is what it is addressing. Now you all have a white looking man who belong to a specific bloodline or a race or a group of people. And you have given that type or telling all of us that that is our God, our Lord. The Quran addresses that in many ways when it says, let's come to common terms that respect us equally. It is addressing a Lord that you made, and it serves your psyche to make your psyche super. But give the same Lord to a black man in Africa and he will regress. It will regress him. So the church has to change. Again, the church has to change. Our African American churches has to change. They have to change, and we have a lot of help on our side, from Christianity now. When I shared with you yesterday, that priest said there has to be some fundamental major changes in Christianity if Christianity is to survive. I can't tell the church that. I can't tell the Baptist church, the black church that. I can't tell the Baptist convention that. I can't tell the holiness people that. They're not ready for that. But why can't I tell my students and the people who say they follow my leadership? Why can't I not tell you? Stand up in your own soul. So when I tell some of you, you become dead. You die right in your seat. Your thoughts are not moving. The blood has slowed up. This is us. We challenge you. You can get that old stuff that they ingrained in you. You can get it out. Stand up to it. You have to be able to stand up in your own soul. Do you know that? That is what it means that Christ stood upon the water. He was an original man. He could stand up in his own soul. But the average one of us, if the soul gets disturbed, we are drowned by the water. So you have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand upon truth in your spiritual life, and as well as in every other form of life. Stand up upon truth, whether it is your own feelings or not. And you have to change your feelings and fight your feelings. You have to have a battle with yourself. Isn't that the teachings of the prophets, that the greatest jihad is the jihad with your own self? I love boxing. A boxer has to train for a fight. He has to get himself into a condition for the fight. This is a jihad. And you have to train your soul, your psyche, your feelings, your sensitivity. You have to train your waters to support truth in the face of challenges from the world. Coming together as Muslims should answer God's call. It has to be a training program to put us in the condition necessary to be successful against the challenges. Once we get our own life together and we feel confident that I'm organized, I'm self-composed for the job at hand, internally, then we are ready to join those who are seemingly constituted internally to get the big job done. So you might say, oh, Brother Imam, you have a job on your hands. Why? Because you are in that state of mind that I was in when I was a young minister, preaching my lungs out, damaging my nerves and heart, thinking I had to get everybody to accept. We only need a few. I think it was Margaret Mead who said, only a few are needed to come together. We'll organize, and they can change the world, she said. The world has been changed by a few well-qualified that came together. The world has been changed by that few. And she said, not only has the world been changed by a few, but that the only way it ever happened. That's what she said. So you never should expect that a multitude of people are going to respond to the call of God or the call of our prophet, peace be upon him, or a call of our imam. You don't ever expect the multitude to come to that. They are going to sit and listen and they are going back to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or something, Burger King's or hamburgers. They're going back to that, and they will watch the football game or the soap opera, and they're going to be the same old people they were before they heard Imam W.D. Muhammad in the Ramadan session. So sperms, some don't reach their egg. But look at the marvelous sign that God gives us in the creation of the human flesh. Science says that when there is an interchange between man and woman to produce life, there are thousands, millions of life germs, and all of them have what God designed to become a human being. But most of them do not ever go and hit the mark. They don't hit the mark. They miss the mark, and they just waste it. They are lost. Only one, two, or a very few in multiple births hit the mark or reach the mark. And they say they are swimmers, too. That's what science says. They're swimming. They're swimmers. They're fish. Now, I know they're not fish, but as a little germ, they move in the liquid like fish. And God has put it in their very makeup and urge and a spirit to go where they have to go. They don't have brains yet. They don't have eyes yet. But they know where they are supposed to go by virtue of how they were made by God. They know where they have to go. They go there with all of them trying to get there. But most of them, they don't have the spirit. They are in the oceanic liquid, but they don't have the spirit, so they don't reach it. So that's life. Billions of energized influences shooting from the Quran. Let us look at it. That's a sign from God which reveals that there are signs in the heavens, signs in the earth, and signs in you. That is what Allah says in the Quran. This blessed book, holy, generous book, let us apply that. Then our reading of what is happening right now with this work that we are doing. Billions of energized influences are shooting from the Quran. And when I recite it, it's shooting from me, and it is going out there to reach your hearts and your minds. How many do you expect to be developed and become reality? Only a very few. So let me tell you all who are in the water and you didn't reach them up. Stay in limbo long enough, and we are going to create something that is going to wake all of us, all of you up. Yes, I think we have something that is going to give you all a resurrection. Praise be to Allah. So this language is something, boy. That's Satan. I'm telling you, he's got into the language, and I know he's having a lot of fun. He has so much fun, he is making me laugh. Resurrection. So that's where we are concentrating now for the completion of this day program presentation. We are concentrating on the challenge to us to develop out of a few who can do the job for the many. So that's what we want. And you don't have to be in my immediate presence or my staff or in my circle of workers. No. Allah says, wherever you are, work in your place. Allah says, I am a worker. You don't see where I'm working. You don't see me. But look at the great work that I did. And I'm doing all the time. I'm a worker. So you don't have to depend on coming under an organization to do work. Allah knows that some organizations wouldn't want you. Some organizations would be afraid of you. Some organizations would be so selfish they don't want to share authority and work with you. So Allah says, work you in your places. Now, you know we are supposed to belong to the master. That is number one. So we are supposed to belong to the body of believers. And they are carrying out their duties as a collective body to conform to what Allah has revealed. Don't abandon that. You contribute to that. But you don't have to be in a place where they pass around the bucket to contribute to that. Sometimes the place where you were going to have prayer and whatever, it has become so unattractive to you that it is just depressing for you to go there. So then you have to do what Imam W.D. Muhammad does a lot. Charity is best done in privacy. So you have to see a poor person in the streets and they ask you for some coffee, money, or some help. You have to make zakat. Do your zakat right there. Let's get away from that old narrow-minded religion. Allah doesn't want us like that. The Quran doesn't guide us to be like that. You don't have to give zakat to somebody in the mosque, in a place. You can give zakat to any human being. Allah loves you to have compassion on human life. Compromise with the suffering masses, the people. Allah says, spend in secrecy and in the open. And the spending that you do without anybody to acknowledge it from your community is a greater charity than the charity you do and get your name recognized under that. Understand that. So let us be like Mr. Farad. The man was great. Yes. He came in dire garments, as he said, looking like a cavie. He said he came in wearing the cavie clothes in disguise. Then he said, nevertheless, I will come back. He told his followers that. He preached among the people. A lot of you don't know this. For 3 years, most of them in Detroit. Then he went to Chicago. And then to Milwaukee. He went to three places. Mr. Farad himself, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accompanying him. And there are believers still living who know this amongst us. There are believers right here in this spot with me who know that. They heard Mr. Farad himself preach it. Sister Vanderduck, from Detroit. She was 101 or 102 years old when she passed. And wherever she heard I was speaking, she would try her best to be there in the audience. She heard Mr. Farad. She knew him just like my father did. She was a close friend of my father and mother, too. And there are others who know of that time, too. There are only a few living now. But there are still a few living now who actually got their names back in that time. He said, we are going to give everyone of them, speaking of our people. He wasn't going after just Muslims. And he knew all of them wouldn't become Muslims. But he said, we have 17 million keys, and we are going after each and every one of them. Mr. Farad said, my father said, brothers, we are determined to get all of them, each and every one of them. Now, this man wasn't even African-American. He said that and left it with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and leaders that he established back at that time in Detroit. firstly, then Chicago, lastly, and Milwaukee. Sin if Muslims separate from black people. So we have experience that makes it sinful for us to separate ourselves from the rest of our people. We have experienced a life together as a people. We have experienced a life together as a people, and I'm telling you, it is a major sin. Some of us don't know it, but it is a major sin, but you are not punished for what you don't know. It is a major sin for any of us to see ourselves separated from our people. We can't accept that. No, because what I am individually is because of what we have experienced together, past and present. So I feel like I do, and I want what I want, and I'm bothered by what I'm bothered with because I belong to my people, not Egyptians, not Pakistanis, not Arabs, because I belong to my people. That is why I feel and respond. And that is why my spirit burdens the way it burdens, because I belong to my people and my genes. Have a memory for being persecuted, rejected, tortured, killed, and my ancestors before me. We all have this. We all share this in common. Black psyche shares slave experience, headed us, bonded us, pardon me. So this is not a Mexican thing. This is not a Polish. This is not a Japanese thing. This is a black thing. This is an African-American thing. We have one life, and that life is the life of our people. And we have a permanent psyche that is strong because of our shared experiences over the many generations. I can't ignore that. We have feelings. Do you know we have group identity? That's what I'm dwelling on. We have group identity. And the group identity is more important than the individual identity. So we are in the collective life more than the private life. So what makes my identity for the greater part is our group life, our collective life as a people. So I look at my creation now, how it has formed, conformed, and rebelled. When I look at it, I don't see Wallace, the welder. I don't see Wallace, the guy who was doing the walk at the dance. I don't see him. He's small in my life. But I see Wallace, who has the spirit to establish his life with his people so that his life fulfills a hunger in his soul for establishment as a people, the collective body. That's where I am. And that's where practically all of us are, whether we know it or not. We are in the collective life more than we are in the private life. So we are building the leadership that we need to be successful with our plans or with our life on this earth that we are trying to bring to Allah, where Allah wants it. So the world design always weaker than the design of God. Allah created life upon a plane, and we are left free thinkers, free spirit to accept, to stay with God, or to follow the influences in the world. So we have that freedom. But in time, that which is stronger is going to overcome that which is weaker. And no matter what the world designed for our creation, their design is always weaker in the design of God. And in time, the spirit in the people will manifest, even in the individual. When it manifests in the individual, it's not that individual spirit, but the individual has taken into his heart, his life, and his mind the collective spirit, the spirit of the people. In the time, it will overcome and it will do away with the false creation, brings the creation back to God. So the spirit is to return to Allah. So when Allah says, and to God you return, and to Allah you must return, you don't think that means dying in the graveyard? Let's get away from these lesser of important ideas and pictures that we have in our mind. Oh, yes, he returned to Allah. He returned to Allah. I saw him put in the ground, and they put dirt over him. What are you talking about? He returned to Allah. His earth returned to earth. That is what we did. He was made of earth, and we put him back in the earth. But what about his spirit? What about his soul? He left it with us, and it's our obligation to return it to God. And the only way we can return it to God is to return it to the plane, the community plan that God wanted that life to be in. When now it has meaning. Yes, I want to return to Allah. All of us have a spirit to return to Allah, and that spirit will never be satisfied until we have in ultimate Ummatin Islamiyah following this Quran and following the life of Muhammad is being opened up to us now. Praise be to Allah, Allahu Akbar. So that's where we are going. We were created to go there. We got to go there. So we for sure were created to serve the Most High God. I remember our teaching Jalil Daeed. He was putting together a little performance, like a play for the students to put on an engagement in Chicago under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, and under the Temple of Islam at that time. And one part of the play was, in fact, it was the final climaxing of that play. And Imam Darnell was in that play. He was a good actor. He was Bilal. He had a lot of starring roles back then, not in the play. There was no Bilal in the play. But I'm saying as a Meduhin, he was, and still is our beloved. And it's kind of went like this. Imam Danel Kareem began to sing in Arabic. We for sure were created to serve the Most High God. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So we kind of anticipated that some would have to go back home to get ready Monday for their business or their jobs or family, take care of their families. So some did leave, but we still have more than I expected here. Today, praise be to Allah, I miss some of the students who are very good students. They possibly could be here, but I kind of doubt it because they usually make their presence known to me. And they are from the East Coast, the New England state area. We have a few very excellent students from the college campuses in that area, inshallah. They will be able to get a transcript or transcription and won't miss what we're getting. I know they want it and need it and will benefit greatly from it. So the focus for this closing session on this Sunday in the month of October, it is taken from the Word of God in the Quran, the Balanced Community, Ummatan Wasata. Ummatul Wasata in Arabic. We begin addressing this topic by going back to the beginning of time as we are to perceive it through the guidance of God, revelation, that is, through his servant and messenger and prophet, and especially through the last prophet, Muhammad, alayhi salam. The peace be upon them, and the prayers and the peace be upon him. So the snake is talking like a man to Adam. So when we recall what we have heard or read in the Bible of scripture of the beginning of time for human beings on this earth, we recall man right after he was made or created or put on the earth or in the garden, and then in the earth, and he was approached by the deceiver, Satan. The Satan, the devil, in the form of a hisser that does not talk. It is silent. It only hisses. Adam's nature made him aware of God. So the snake is quiet, different from other animals. The other animals are talking and communicating with one another, but the snake is silent and he hisses. So this snake is communicating strongly. He is talking like a man to Adam. And he is working, as we said yesterday, to give Adam a perception of things, a perception of reality, even a perception of what God intended for Adam, that Adam knew, obviously. If he didn't know it, the Satan would not have been trying to give him another perception. He already had a perception, and his nature was aware of how he should respect God, the creator of everything. His nature had him know that. So Satan wants to change Adam's perception of life. Now, the Satan is trying to persuade him to buy his perception that Satan wants for Adam or for mankind. So when we say Adam, we mean for all people. For mankind, obviously, Adam, obedience in his nature, had him in check. He just couldn't behave any kind of way. And he was not open to being easily changed or converted from the way that he thought and behaved. So the sublist means difficult to see and difficult to figure out, difficult to detect, etc. Very sublist, very wise. And we should connect this sense in the Bible or in Scripture with the saying of Muhammad, the prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. He said that God invited the archangel Gabriel, in the English, to witness his creation that he was planning for human beings, for mankind, the universe, the whole creation, earth included, everything. He said to Jibril, behold my creation. Jibril saw it and said, what a wonderful, marvelous creation. How can anyone go astray in such a wonderful creation? I know you have heard this many times. And within an instant, God changed the scene. The creation appeared as Satan was going to present it And when Jibril, the archangel, saw that, he said, "My Lord." He said, "My Lord." The first time, too. In the first instant, he said, "My Lord." And I'm bringing it to your attention to let you know that even the most important of all the angels recognize Allah, the Creator, as his Lord. He said, "My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation?" Now, these are the two extremes. The Satan brought it from an extreme. He made it so attractive, so fascinating, but his decorating creation made it very difficult for human beings to keep their good moral nature and good intelligence in such a creation. So that is why the archangel says, "My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation?" Muhammad addresses religious issues that deviated. So this helps us understand what was given before. So you see, the prophet comes to address major issues in religion that came before and had gotten off track to correct the perception. Did you know from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, that these angels, these are great books, these perfect books? If you understand what I'm saying, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. Your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language in reading it in the Bible. It's perfect. Not at all, not all of it. But you will find the perfect language in the Bible if your heart is right. And you have the intelligence and the support of God. Oh, yes. You can find it in the Bible. Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That is what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did he say to Ali, his cousin, who had a Bible? Now, this is in established hadith, he said. Ali wants, "What's wrong with the Quran that I brought?" I think he only wanted to caution his cousin, Ali. May God be pleased with Ali. Radu Allahu Anhu. Radhi Allahu Anhu, that the traditional saying meaning, "May Allah be pleased with him," that is all. The prophet knew Allah was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when we pick up the Bible, because it is very, very stubborn and powerful as a deception, as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scene of the beginning of mankind in Adam, the Satan knew that he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he wanted to gain, and that is complete authority in the life of the human society. So that is what he wants. So that is what he aspired for. I didn't continue it, but perception is the major theme in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. So perception, certain visions, every eye shall see him. So quickly reflecting on the great issues of perception, in the Bible it says, "And every eye shall see him." And the Bible talks about light and darkness, the world receiving light and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. So that's how Revelation ends, with the whole world becoming light. Everything from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, but it went out and filled the whole earth, and the whole earth was filled with light. So light is for eyes. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in leaders, so that the world of man would be established in the best way. Perception isn't that what you do, what you go to school for, to improve your perception of things? Isn't that why you went to college, to improve your perception of things? Yes. Education improves your perception. Better all perceptions, and when our perception is better, the life is better. You just feel so much better. So I'm sure the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place, lit with the best of lights. So perception, every eye shall see him. So why should it be said, every eye shall see him? Isn't it enough to have our leaders see? No. God has put it in every nature of every human being to want to see clearly, to want to understand. So you are a burden when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are a burden when you hear a whole lot of preachings and you don't understand but a little. That leaves you burdened. So that's a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence, to grow in perception, so the burden would be light, the balanced community. The balanced community. Now, I have to make some notes as I go, too. The Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and they planned and Allah planned, and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just hear that and say that, right? And you are thinking it a little focused, little small, unimportant situation. No. When you read that, be aware of the greater deceiver, Satan himself, the Satan. And that he is the one who started everybody else to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are done away with automatically. Mr. Farad, I'm sure, like he courage and great wit. He said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Answer, not nowadays. That day just arrived. Those days he was foreseeing, they have arrived. But most of what we perceive has been influenced by the Satan himself. So here is the big problem, our perception of the universe has been changed. What we perceive is mostly influenced by the Satan himself, even the way we read scripture. For after all, this was a man that God himself created and that God himself communicated to. And the Satan is talking to him to change his perception. So it is even influencing him so that when he hears the word of God, Satan says, oh no, he didn't mean it that way. You should know how God meant that so you can be free to do great things and rise up, even with God. Now we know all of them are false except one. Again, I like Mr. Farad's wit. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God means power and force. Now, we know that is not correct. God is much more than power and force, but it is what he wanted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to see. Then he told or led the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to believe that the black man is the God. I guess that is what he was doing. He was checking that black man by giving him a definition for the God in the new language of W.D. Farad in the Nation of Islam, hinting that God I'm giving you is not the Most High, not the perfect, pure, and just one. The God I'm giving you is power and force. Yes, that is what I'm doing, and that is my nature. Ever since I was a boy, that was my nature, not to preach so much, but to teach. The Quran, Bible, designed to help man on all levels, along with his strategy, his world grew. The more he progressed his plans and strategy, the more his world developed and grew. Now, the Bible says this, to save a lot of time, I'm not going to go and quote everything. You will get it later, inshallah. To save a lot of time, I'm just going straight to the point. But I'm telling you that the Bible and the Quran, both books have it. If it is a major issue, it is in both books. So Bible is a book of knowledge to achieve world dominance. So the Bible is designed to serve mankind on all levels, just as the Quran is designed to serve mankind on all levels. The people who are uneducated, the Quran and Bible is designed to serve them. You read them, they serve you. You do not have to be educated. But the more your intelligence is developed and informed, correctly, the more you get out of those books. That's natural. So what am I giving you now? You should write it, my students. Please, the Bible is a book of knowledge for educating the brightest minds and the most ambitious souls in the knowledge of how to achieve a dominance in the world or on this earth. So that is what it's all about. I'm sure most of you know what the dominance is. So Satan is a mindset, and that's where we will continue next Wednesday at 7 p.m. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.